We read the Holy Scriptures this morning in the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We'll read together the first 23 verses of this chapter. My text this morning is made up of verses 9 and 10, the account of Jabez and Jabez's prayer to the God of Israel. The Word of God at 1 Chronicles 4, verse 1. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazel Elponai. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha, these are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naarah. And Naarah bare him Ahuzam and Hefer and Teminai and Hashtari. These were the sons of Naarah. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethnan. And Koz begat Anab and Zobiba and the families of Aharhel, the son of Harem. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the name called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. And Caleb, the brother of Shua, begat Meher, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begat Beth-Rapha, and Pasea, and Tehina, the father of Ir-Nahash. These are the men of Rekah. And the sons of Kenaz, Othniel, and Sariah. And the sons of Othniel, Hathath, and Maonothai begat Ophra, and Sariah begat Joab, the father of the valley of Karashim, for they were craftsmen. And the sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Iru, Elah, and Nahum, and the sons of Elah, even Kenaz. And the sons of Jehalalel, Ziph, and Zipha, Teriah, and Asarel. And the sons of Ezra were Jether, and Mered, and Epher, and Jalan. And she bare Miriam, and Shimei, and Ishba, the father of Eshtemoah. And his wife, Jehudijah, bare Jared, the father of Gedor, and Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zenoah. And these are the sons of Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, which Mered took. And the sons of his wife, Hodiah, the sister of Nahum, the father of Keilah, the Garmite, and Eshtemoah, the Maacathite. And the sons of Shimon were Ammon and Rena, Ben-Hanan and Tilon. And the sons of Ishi were Zoheth and Ben-Zoheth. The sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Leada, the father of Marisha. And the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen of the house of Ashbia, and Jochim, and the men of Kozeba, and Joash, and Zaraph, who had the dominion in Moab, and Jeshubailahim. And these are ancient things. These were the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. There ends our reading of God's word this morning. I call your attention then particularly to verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the name of the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Beloved congregation, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the books of Chronicles record the history of the children of Israel under the kings, the monarchy of Israel. Although very similar to the books of Kings, the books of Chronicles are nevertheless also different from the books of the Kings. For this reason, the reference to 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Belgic Confession of Faith in Article 4 as parallelepimenon is, strictly speaking, not accurate. That's the name that's given to these books in the Septuagint. And that name then is referred to in the Belgic Confession of Faith when it enumerates the canonical books of Scripture. Parallelepimenon means the things left over, as though the books of Chronicles are merely filling in certain gaps, things left out of the books of 1st and 2nd Kings. And that is not the case. Evidence from the books of Chronicles indicates that these books were written sometime after the return of the children of Israel from the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, after they came back to the land of Canaan, these books were written. Some suppose that Ezra the scribe was the human writer of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, but nowhere in the books do we find evidence for that. In distinction from the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, the history that is recorded in 1st and 2nd Chronicles is unique. For the history that is recorded in 1st and 2nd Chronicles is the history of Judah and of the Davidic monarchy and the line and family of King David in Judah. You know, even the children here this morning know from school and from catechism that in distinction from Israel, Judah had kings that came all from the same family, all of them from the family of David. And you know that ultimately, from the family of David, Christ came. The Lord Jesus Christ is a descendant of King David. Sat on David's throne, came to rule in the place of King David. Now, 1st and 2nd Chronicles records the history of Judah, bringing in now and again events in the history of the children of Israel, but only as the history of Israel, the northern kingdom, bears on the history of Judah, the southern kingdom, in order to focus our attention on the line of Christ. And the great work of God throughout the Old Testament, that's the testimony of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. The great work of God throughout the Old Testament, preserving unto himself the line of David in order to bring forth the Christ. 1 Chronicles begins with several significant genealogies. The first genealogy in chapter 1 goes all the way back to Father Adam. The genealogy in chapter 2 is the genealogy of the sons of Israel, the 12 patriarchs, after whom the 12 tribes of Israel were named. The genealogy in chapter 3 is specifically the genealogy of David, the line of King David. The genealogy in our chapter, chapter 4, is the genealogy of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, after the time of the schism and the split that took place among the 12 tribes. The kingdom of Judah was made up largely of the tribe of Judah. And besides that, the royal line of David, which is the focus of the book, is found within the tribe of Judah. David himself descends from Judah. Included among the names that are mentioned in this genealogy is Jabez. This is the only place in the whole Bible where mention is made of this man, Jabez, with the possible exception of chapter 2 of 1 Chronicles, verse 55. Chapter 2, verse 55 begins, "And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez." That may very well have been a town named after the man Jabez. It is significant that whereas only the names of the others in this genealogy are recorded, special attention is given to Jabez. We're told something about him, not just his name, but something about the man, his life, his godliness, not his great earthly achievements, but the life of godliness that he lived in the midst of Judah and among his brethren. His godliness comes to expression especially in that prayer that he makes. That prayer is a fitting prayer. A fitting prayer to be made at the beginning of a new year as we face the uncertainties of the year of our Lord 2014, not knowing at all what the Lord has in store for us. Who of us here this morning will not be here a year from now? What does God have in store for our congregation? What does He have in store for our families? What are we going to face as husbands and as wives? What as individuals in the calling in life in which God has set us are we going to face in this coming year? With these questions weighing on our minds, we turn, as Jabez turned, to God in prayer and offer up the petitions that Jabez offered up to God. I call your attention this morning to Jabez. Let's notice, first of all, his faith. Secondly, his prayer. And thirdly, his reward. Jabez, his faith, his prayer, and his reward. Not only is there indication in the text of the faith of Jabez, but there is indication in the text as well of the faith of Jabez's parents, particularly the faith of his mother. Jabez was born to, and Jabez was raised up by, a God-fearing mother, a woman who loved the Lord and who loved her children and who loved Jabez, her son, for the Lord's sake, a woman who strove to bring her children up to the glory of God. That's indicated by the name that this mother gave to her son. She called him Jabez. That word, Jabez, means sorrow. She called him sorrow. By the way, there is a play on words in the Hebrew of the text that doesn't come out so clearly in the English in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Literally, that it may not Jabez me. He uses his name there, which means grief or sorrow. His mother gave Jabez his name, first of all, because she bore him in sorrow. And that's exactly what we're told. And his mother, verse 9, called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." That sorrow may or may not have been more intense than the ordinary sorrow of childbirth. But having her son, experiencing once again the sorrow of childbirth, she named her son Sorrow. Not only because of the sorrow of his birth, but because the sorrow of his birth reminded her of the nature of earthly life itself. What earthly life is, life in the midst of a wicked world, a world that lies under the curse of God. It is a life of sorrow. We are called to live our lives in this valley of tears, where our experience is an experience of sorrow. It doesn't mean that there are absolutely no joys in life. Jabez's mother was not a pessimist who could only see the dark side of things, could never experience joy or happiness, not that. But his mother saw nevertheless what is the outstanding character of earthly life, life in this world, life lived on this side of the second coming of Jesus Christ, that life in this world is sorrow, tears, pain, sickness, disappointment, loss, death. Exactly because this is the nature of earthly life, Jabez's mother taught him and taught her other children not to set their hearts upon the things of this earth, not to anticipate ultimate joy to be experienced in this sin-cursed world. She taught her children that they must look beyond. They must look for something else. They must look not to this world, but to this world renewed and recreated. She taught her children to look for a coming day, a day in the future when this world of sorrow would be changed into a world of joy, when the tears would be wiped away, when the bitter disappointments would not even be remembered any longer, and when God's people, she and her children and her children's children, would experience joy, real joy, lasting joy. But his name was also intended to be a testimony, not only personal instruction for Jabez, not only that Jabez might know what the character of earthly life is, but that her son might be a testimony, a living testimony to others, calling others to look at earthly life from that viewpoint in order to look away from the things of this earth and look to the future, to heaven, and to the glory hereafter. That was Jabez's testimony. It is important that in the year of our Lord, 2014, this is the viewpoint that we parents and grandparents have. By our instruction, by the power of our own personal example, backing up the instruction that we give, consistent with the instruction that we give to our children and to our grandchildren, remind them that here we have no abiding city. We don't seek a place in this world, but we're seeking a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, a heavenly city that endures into all eternity. But the emphasis in the text is on the faith, not of his parents, but the faith of Jabez. Jabez's faith is indicated in the text in several ways. First of all, the text indicates Jabez's faith when it informs us that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, the first part of verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. More honorable. His brethren were honorable. The family, as a family, parents and children together, siblings among themselves, were godly and honorable. But Jabez was more honorable. The honor that is referred to here is genuine honor, spiritual honor, honor from God. God honored Jabez, and God honors those who honor him. Jabez honored God. Jabez honored God by his walk of faith and obedience to the glory of God. That's honoring God. In his heart, he honored God. It wasn't mere outward piety, what men could see of him, but then in his home or in private, he was something quite different. Not that, but from the heart, sincerely, not hypocritically, Jabez honored the Lord. He honored him not just by words, not just by confession, but he honored him by a life lived to his honor, a life lived to the praise of the glory of the grace of God. He honored God with praise and with worship. He was there when the congregation was gathered for public worship, praising God, praying, exercising the communion of the saints, hearing the word of God. In his own closet, he was a man of prayer and meditation. This prayer wasn't the exception, but he was given to prayer, a man who prayed often, whose life was characterized by calling upon God and living before the face of God. Jabez honored God. This was the honor that Jabez sought. That's implied in the text, that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren implies that this was the honor that he sought. This was the honor that he was interested in. God's honor. Not honor for himself. Not honor for the family and the family name. But the honor of God that drove him. That was his passion. Many seek honor. Very few seek the honor of God or honor for God's sake. The mark of the believing man, the mark of the believing woman, the believing young person, is that he or she seeks the honor of God. The faith of Jabez is also indicated in the text when we are informed in verse 10 that Jabez called on the God of Israel. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now we'll see in a moment that this calling upon God took the form of a prayer, a beautiful prayer. But more is included than just prayer, as important as prayer is. To call upon God includes the worship of God, both public and private. Certainly, the public corporate worship of God. The opening chapters of Genesis indicate this. When we're informed in Genesis 4, verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord is public, corporate worship. Jabez worshiped God, and Jabez took his delight in the worship of God. Do we? Are we committed to this in the year of our Lord, 2014? Faithful, diligent, heartfelt worship of God. Jabez worshiped God alone. Implied in the text is that Jabez rejected the idols. Jabez was devoted exclusively to God as the only God, the living God, the true God. He rejected the worship of the idols. He did not turn to the Baals, to the Asherahs. He did not make money his idol, earthly pleasure his idol, all of which we are tempted to do. But he rejected these idols in order to devote himself to the worship of God. Not only did Jabez worship God, but according to the text, he worshiped him as the God of Israel. That adds something, that indicates something about God and Jabez's view of God. God is Israel's God. He's the covenant God, the God of Israel, in a way in which he is not the God of any other people or nation. The God of Israel in the sense that he has established his covenant with Israel. The covenant of grace and salvation, in which covenant he has promised to save Israel and Israel's children and Israel's children's children in the line of continued generations. In Jabez, there was a covenant consciousness. He was not concerned only for himself. His own worship of God, his own honoring of the name of God. But Jabez was concerned for the worship of God in his generations, in his family. He worshiped God as the God of Israel, the God of the everlasting covenant of grace. It is out of the certainty of God's covenant established with us and with our children, that we begin the year of our Lord, 2014. We're here this morning, not just as so many individuals, but we're here as parents with our children, grandparents with our grandchildren. And even those who are here as individuals this morning share this covenant consciousness, this concern for God's continued gathering of His children from among our children. He called upon God, the God of Israel. It is especially Jabez's prayer, his prayer that indicates his faith. That prayer is recorded in verse 10. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. There are four specific petitions that Jabez makes to God in his prayer. All four arise out of his faith, and all four are clear expressions of his faith. First, Jabez prays that God will bless him. That's what Jabez is interested in. That's what he's interested in first of all. This is his first petition. And it's his first petition because this is his first and main and overriding concern, that God will bless him, that he will be the object of the blessing of God in his life before him. Fundamentally, that's all that Jabez is interested in. Everything else that he asks of God, the other petitions that are recorded as a part of his prayer, are really only aspects of this first petition, the petition that God will bless him. This is everything to the believer. Child of God, Jabez wasn't interested in earthly prosperity. He wasn't interested in goods, in money, in a name and reputation for himself. Lord God, this is it. This is my first request, my only request. Lord God, bless me. Bless me. There is the sense of his undeservedness of this blessing. He comes to God in the deep awareness that he has no claim, none whatsoever in himself on the blessing of God. He doesn't attach anything. There's no because. There's no sense of his having earned or merited this blessing in any way by what he's done or even by what he's desired to do. But his petition is the petition of one who knows himself to be undeserving, altogether unworthy. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, even me. That's faith. This is the evidence of faith. Faith is interested fundamentally in one thing. That's all. The blessing of God. The blessing of God, we're able to face the disappointments and bear up under them, assured of the blessing of God. We're not crushed by the sorrows and sufferings of earthly life, assured of the blessing of God, we're able to carry on no matter what it is, according to God's will, that we must endure in the year of our Lord, 2014, with His blessing. With His blessing, we will endure all. Secondly, Jabez prays that God would enlarge his coasts. That's the borders of Jabez's portion in the land of Canaan, the portion that had been assigned to him by Lot. This indicates, by the way, that very likely Jabez lived at the time that the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, at the time of the division of the land and the settling of the land. What Jabez prays for is his enduring possession in the promised land. What he prays for is that his possession will not be taken away from him, that he will not forfeit that possession, or that the enemies will come and by force take that possession from him, but that God will preserve his inheritance in the land of Canaan. In New Testament terms, he was concerned that God would maintain his place in the congregation as a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And since that land of Canaan was a type of heaven, the heavenly Canaan hereafter, Jabez's concern was for a place in heaven, a place for himself, a place for his family, his generations, in the heavenly inheritance, the Canaan that is to come. Oh, this is the evidence of faith. Our concern for our place in God's church, that God will keep us faithful as members of His church, that God will keep the church itself, God's Canaan, God's possession, that God will preserve our own congregation. That's the prayer fundamentally of Jabez, that God will preserve us by continuing to give us faithful office bearers who love the Word and instruct us according to the Word, rule us according to the Word, administer alms according to the Word, that God will preserve and bless our denomination of churches. That's the prayer of the New Testament Jabez. That the love of the truth will be maintained among us, as well as the truth itself. And for our sister churches, for those in other fellowships who we have come to know, whom we love in the bonds of the gospel, that God will preserve us in the wicked world in which we are called to live. That was his prayer. Third, Jabez prayed that God's hand might be with him. That God's hand might be with me. That expresses Jabez's utter dependence upon God. He does not depend at all upon himself, his own strength, his own perceived abilities, but he casts himself altogether upon God. His trust is in God. God's hand to lead him, God's hand to protect him, God's hand to strengthen him, God's hand to uphold him, God's hand to defend him, to have his hand in God's hand. That was Jabez's prayer. And that too is the outstanding evidence of faith. Faith looks away from self, our own merits, our own abilities. Faith casts itself altogether upon God. And finally, Jabez's prayer is that God would keep him from evil. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Evil here is sin. Sometimes evil in the Bible is earthly trouble and sorrow. We often speak of the evils of earthly life, but often evil is sin, moral, ethical evil. And that's the word that is used here. It's the same word that occurs a bit earlier in the book, in chapter 2, verse 3. The sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess, and the firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he slew him. He was wicked. He was sinful. That's the idea of the word in our text. Evil brings grief. Let there be no mistake, no misunderstanding. It is the lie of the devil that you can live in 2014 the way you want. You can live fulfilling the lusts of your heart, doing as you please, and that all will be well. And in that way, you will undoubtedly find great happiness. That's a damnable lie of the devil. Evil is grief. Evil brings grief. God sees to that. God sees to that as a righteous God who hates the evil. Grief now, grief eternally. Not merely the consequences of sin, but the righteous judgment of God. Those are the evils that Jabez has in mind. He beseeches God that God will spare him the experience of those evils. Inevitably, sin brings grief, not only in our own life, but in all of the lives of those around us. Eventually and inevitably, a life of evil brings grief in our personal relationships, in our marriage, in our home and family. Soon that spills over into the congregation. Jabez prays that God will spare him that grief by keeping him from the evil. The positive is that God will keep him in holiness of life, living in obedience to his commandments, doing his will to the praise of the glory of his grace. Then not grief, but joy. Joy and gladness. That's what Jabez prays for. God heard Jabez's prayer. God answered it. God rewarded the faith of Jabez, as always he does. God granted Jabez what he sought in faith. Verse 10, the last part. And God granted him that which he requested. God answers the prayers of his people. He always answers the prayers of his people. God blessed him, and God gave him the sense and the assurance of his blessing. That's our desire as we step into the year of our Lord 2014. God enlarged his coasts. God's hand was with him, and God did keep him from the evil, working in him by his Spirit and grace, so that he walked in holiness. All of this was of God. All of it. God had brought Jabez into the world. God had caused him to be born to these believing parents, to a mother who loved him, not only naturally, but also spiritually. God worked in Jabez from his earliest days, applying the instruction of his mother, applying the power of the example of his mother, applying the discipline that in love she administered to Jabez. God worked faith in Jabez. God preserved that faith. God strengthened that faith. The reason was God's determination to honor Jabez. God had determined eternally to honor Jabez when he chose Jabez in electing grace. Because of that determination, God gave Jabez to his son, Jesus Christ, in order to die for him, to take away his sin and the guilt of his sin, and thus to take away his worthiness to experience the wrath and the curse of God. In Jesus Christ, God blessed Jabez. Because of that determination to bless Jabez in Jesus Christ, God sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to work faith in Jabez. You see, it's all of God. It's always all of God. It was all of God in the year 2013. It will be all of God in the year 2014. And thus, to God alone must be the glory. The glory now and the glory forever. The conclusion of the whole matter, this son who caused his mother such extreme sorrow at his birth, undoubtedly brought her in his life the greatest joy. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we make before thee this morning the same requests that Jabez made. We pray earnestly, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt bless us, that thou wilt enlarge our coasts, that thine hand will go with us, and that thou wouldest keep us from evil. Thus, Heavenly Father, preserve us in a sinful world until the time when thou dost call us unto thyself. Forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.